Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got you. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're still on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how are we doing, brother?
What's going on, Marcus? How you doing, my brother? How's it going? You doing all right?
Pretty good.
You have a good Easter weekend, huh?
Yeah.
How was it?
Nice little family gathering Sunday night. Had some dinner. Had some Easter egg hunts for the little ones, and then and just watched some March Madness and broke bread with the family. So just
a
nice quaint Easter. How was yours?
Same here, just broke some bread. We actually took some food down to my nephew, Chad. And so we had a really good time. Just, went to, service, but also to going out there. It was a beautiful day. It was a gorgeous day yesterday. So that's what I'm like here in Kentucky. Our weather's just really starting to break, because it's been kind of up and down. You get, 70, then all of a sudden it's raining 2 or 3 days in a row. So I think we were just happy that consecutive days of some good weather just to go out and just, enjoy the sun, enjoy the people, man. And then, like you said, enjoy the family, talking to everybody, wishing everybody, a happy Easter and all those good things. That's but yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, man. So yeah, hope everybody else had one on here too. Everybody who's in the chat. Good to see you all. Go Sana. I'm DeBrown. Everybody, how y'all doing? Everybody doing all right? I hope y'all had a good weekend.
Yep. Yeah. The crew is here tonight. So obviously our Monday shows are us kind of reviewing the different position groups, but obviously with the latest news on our receiver, Rashee Rice, we kind of wanted to address that tonight, just talk about it a little bit. Yesterday when this is all happening, right, there was not a lot of news on it, but in the last day, and obviously, the statement came out from Rashee Rice's lawyer. The Chiefs president Mark Donovan said something, and then also the TMZ photos came out showing that the Rashee Rice and his group that he was with, they were at a bar, drinking beforehand. I don't know. It's all alleged right now, but one of the people who was walking out of the car with the red, thing over his head was wearing the same.
What's going on with Rashee Rice, man? What's happening?
What do you mean?
What's going on?
Wait, what do you mean?
With Rashee Rice, what's happening with him?
He allegedly was driving on the road in Dallas, speeding, and hit another car.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Yesterday.
You kidding?
Or 48 hours. So it was Saturday night at 6 o'clock is when it was. But it didn't come out till yesterday.
He's all right?
He's all right as far as I know, and the lawyer's statement really didn't say much, but the guys who got out of the car seemed all fine and such. No one knew who, because there was photos and documents or videos of these guys leaving the car that Rashee Rice was supposedly in. They crashed the car. They leave the scene. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you knew.
No, I don't know nothing about none of this. Not a thing.
Yeah.
Dude, I look, I've been off Twitter this entire weekend. I've seen anything on TV. I've just been enjoying the family. And obviously, I have no idea what you're saying.
Dude. This has got to be an April Fool's joke. You. I was like, well, we talked about this. I'll tell you what, the Academy Award goes to Jason Dunn for that right there.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
Pretty convincing. All right, good.
I was like, wait, we talked about this.
My man right there said, I'm the brand. I know it. I'm the brand. Look, I know. Listen, I do try to stay disconnected from things. I actually had a great Easter. I did. You know, and to be honest with you, you know, Marcus, I'll let you go ahead and speak on these things. But, you know, to be honest with you, you know, people have lives. Things happen in people's lives. So, but go ahead. I'll let you. I couldn't mess up a moment of being April Fool's, right? And I didn't know how I was going to do this. So this was kind of like my April Fool's on you, Marcus, because I was sitting there thinking, like, how am I going to get April Fool's? I didn't know what I was going to do before the show. But this, go ahead. No, it was I can't get past me. Good job. I was going to keep it going, but that was it. No, we good. Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, I bet you gave your mother fits putting on those acts. hey, JD was a baby just like me and the family, so we definitely got away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man, you had me going. I was like, wait, we talked about this. Did you not know? So essentially, for those of you who don't know, I'm assuming everyone knows it's been pretty much all over the news the last few days. Rashee Rice, a car that was assigned to Rashee Rice, a rental car that was assigned to him, was crashed in Dallas Saturday around 6 o'clock p.m. Mm-hmm. There's video of Rashee Rice. Well, at the time, we didn't know who it was. There's three people get out of the car and walk away from the scene. And Sunday morning, like Dallas PD is looking for Rashee Rice. And then today we find TMZ releases photos of Rashee Rice with his friends before the crash happened. And you see the shirt that Rashee Rice is wearing is the same shirt as one of the people who was leaving the scene of Saturday night. So that's where it stands. Mm-hmm. And we have some audio from Chiefs president Mark Donovan, who talked about it. It's more like didn't really say much on it, but nonetheless, it's something that we'll play right now, and then we'll show Rashee's statement on everything. So
okay.
Let you go. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. I know the legal process is what it is right now. Is there anything you can share with fans on this Rashee Rice situation that we're all monitoring and looking at right now?
Yeah, I think that in all these situations, you have to wait until you have all the facts. And frankly, we don't have all the facts at this point. The one comforting fact that we do have is that there was a multi-car crash in Texas and in Dallas. And fortunately, it doesn't appear that anyone was hurt. And we should be grateful for that. We'll get to the bottom of it. We'll gather the facts, and then we'll react accordingly.
Mark.
So that was Chief President Mark Donovan on the on kind of giving his little bit there, a little tidbit there. Obviously, we know a lot of these guys don't like to comment on anything, obviously, until we know more about it. But this is Rashee's statement from his attorney today. On behalf of Rashee Rice, his thoughts are with everyone impacted by the automobile accident on Saturday. Rashee is cooperating with local authorities and will take all necessary steps to address the situation responsibly. Any and all requests for comment can be directed to his attorney, Mr. Royce West of West & Associates, LLP. So that is where everything stands right now. JD, obviously, we're still putting things together here. Chiefs Kingdom, for much less, we see Chiefs Kingdom go nuts about a lot of different other things. So obviously they're going nuts about this. I had people comment on some of our videos yesterday. They had nothing to do with Rashee Rice, saying we need to cut him. And it's like, okay, we don't know anything right as of right now. And then, yeah, and then you have some people online. Our friend Lance, he got killed today in a tweet saying the longer Rashee Rice doesn't say anything, the more guilty he is. So there's a lot of different nuggets and a lot of things people are being said about this. He's a young guy. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. And I think, you know, you and I are both one who, you know, we're both the same type of people when it comes to giving people second chances. You know, it's like, you know, we're all young and dumb once. We've all made mistakes in our life, some smaller than others. But, you know, to say, you know, he needs to go or whatever, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's overreactions upon overreactions. But, Jenny, what are your thoughts on when you first heard about this, and what are your thoughts is right now as things keep continue to unfold on the whole thing?
Well, I tell you this, you know, and part of what I wanted to do, I wanted to refrain from really making statements about anything, because everything right now is just kind of speculation. You know, none of us really know, like you said, all the details until everything comes out. You know, we get, you know, of course, little video here, pictures over here, people trying to put the pieces together. I'll just say it's just unfortunate this entire thing has happened. Okay. And thankful that nobody did get hurt, whoever was involved in this whole thing, right? Ordeal. But you know, the thing is, if you know, when it all comes out, they'll handle it accordingly. I think with this statement that that the attorney's doing, is he's just making sure he's representing Rashee like he should, right? And I think everybody tries to, you know, give their opinion about things, which is fine. You know, you give your opinion about a lot of different things, whether it be people that might be involved in car wrecks and say, hey, man, this kid is being irresponsible, what he did. We don't even know if he was driving, okay? We see him coming out the door. We don't know if he was the one that was driving, right? Whoever it was, I think the bad taste, the bad decision is to leave the cars and not really stay there to deal with it at all. I can't really tell from the pictures if that was Rashee Rice or not. I mean, it kind of looked like him. I don't know. They say the picture, well, his shirt, you know, in the photo, I mean, it kind of looked like Rashee, but I don't know. Like in the other picture that he had, I don't know Rashee like that to just like put my eyes on. I'm like, oh yeah, that's him for sure. Don't know that. But you know, this entire process, man, is going to be lengthy. We'll let them do their investigation. Let them do the police work, okay? And so however they hash everything out is going to be within them to do that. Now, I'll say this, because I've seen a lot of different people talk about, you know, Rashee Rice, call him all different names, you know, irresponsibility and all that. Yeah, well, you know, certain acts that people have can be irresponsible. You know, oh, he's throwing his life away, this. Look, we don't know whatever it is. So even if he's involved, okay, there is a maturation process, okay, that people go through, men and women both. I think I was talking to some of my boys, like, man, I remember when I was 20, 21 years old. I don't know how old was Rashee, you know, 21, 22, something like that.
Probably around there, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you do stupid things. Things do happen, okay? That are unfortunate. We don't quite make all the best decisions. You know, my son is, you know, he's 18 years old, my youngest. And I said, you know what, with you all, y'all don't think things through in the future. Y'all just, you don't, okay? It's no different. I said, you know, the thing is, we just happen to catch this thing right here on video. That's the thing about it. If all our lives were put out here on video, what we did when we were 22, 23 years old, I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot of embarrassing things that everybody would have, okay? There's going to be some stupid things that we did, and we probably didn't get caught in doing it, you know? Yeah, and those things are irresponsible. They are. We understand that. And so when you do say that, yeah, hindsight is 2020, okay? At the time when you're doing it, you don't think things are going to happen, right? When people are being reckless, we see it all the time, videos at different people. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's older people who are 50, 60 years old and still making mistakes. doing boneheaded things. We know this. We see it all the time. It's the way of the world, right? Doesn't excuse it at all. We're not excusing anything. We're not excusing anybody's actions for what they did. Hopefully, you know, whatever happens, they be held responsible for it, because that is important, that somebody, you know, faces the music, you know, take the responsibility. But also, too, we got to understand, you know, look, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter what job you have. I said, people make mistakes with no money. So you give somebody who that may have a whole lot of money and resources, it ain't going to be no different. Nobody's immune to these things and making mistakes. None of us. Can you imagine this? I was saying, I thank God. I thank God every day for the things didn't happen to me, making some of the stupid mistakes. I said, I don't have enough fingers and toes, Marcus. I don't think me and you both, the mistakes I made, they're getting called. And just when you look at it, I'm like, man, that's a boneheaded decision I just made. That was stupid. It was stupid, right? So just saying that, whether it's Rashid or these other guys, whoever it was, okay? But I'm just saying, man, you know, when people get into this, like this mudslinging, right, and throwing, and I've seen some absolutely, like, really racist things online that's being said, right? And that's where sometimes you start seeing some things come out of people, okay, that probably not at their best, okay? And these guys, too, was not at their best when these things happened, all right? So we everything has to be done better. We got to give it some time for everything to come out. You know, everybody wants to be the first one to come and say something. But, you know, what happened? Everybody got the insight of those things. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows. Only one that knows is the ones that was in the car and, you know, them telling the truth. Now, obviously, you say different films, different cameras, and all those different things. Hey, man, you know, they'll take care of it. They'll take care of it. And I think that's the maturation process, too, to have a conversation responsibly when you talk about these things. You know, it's an in-depth conversation that people need to have, right? So a level of grace. Like you said, we don't mind giving second chances. If this is something that he is a part of and would drop him, then, yeah, then we'll say, you know, from our, you know, humble opinion, like, hey, man, you just got to take what was given, you know, the bed that you that you did with it. You know, because I think it's just a lot there. It's just a lot there. So, yeah, you're right. It is speculation. So that's what I.
And also, too, like we talk about, he's 23 years old, and, you know, it's like young guy, and people always say, like, and now you say hindsight 2020, but like people always have these, whether it's, you know, like car crash or whatever it is, or like a time where someone, you know, goes to a bank and you happen to be in that bank. It's like, oh, I would have done this and I would have done that. It's like, oh, okay. But in that moment of panic, you don't really know. Obviously, yeah, we say, yeah, he shouldn't have fled the scene. Yeah, he shouldn't have. You know, now it's a hit and run, and then it becomes a bigger thing. Like, oh, Dallas police is looking for him. Then it becomes a whole big thing, right? Like it's some mm-hmm. search for Rashee Rice. And it's like, you know, we could say that, like, what he should have done, but it's like, he's a young guy who's, you know, panicking. He's thinking about his NFL career, like, oh, man, it's over. I need to get out of here, like, kind of thing. Like, we don't know, you know? So it's like, there's a lot of things going through his head, and, you know, we've all made boneheaded decisions, and small ones, big ones. We've all been there. We've all been young and dumb. And obviously, yeah, it's part of a maturation process, and hopefully, you know, we don't know what happened, right? We don't know. We just know that the car was rented out to him, it crashed, and he allegedly walked off. Yeah. But like at the end of the day, it's a maturation process, and hopefully it's something that, you know, he can learn from. And people who are out here saying dumb stuff on the internet of trying to, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by saying what they're saying about Rashee Rice and his friends, that like, hopefully it's a learning process for them too, as well, you know, like, to not jump down someone's throat at their lowest point. So,
well, then it also, too, when they say in certain things, it reveals character, right? So if this comes out, some certain character and people, you know, these things don't always bring the best out of people. Okay. And so people are always going to have an opinion about it. And to me, you know, this is the way of the world. People are going to have their opinions about certain things like that. My thing is, when it does come out and you know, because I think when it was, you know, saying was he driving this and that, and then all of a sudden they couldn't find him. No, in my head, I'm like, well, shoot, let's just make sure he's all right, right? Because then all, you know, in your head, you start thinking, well, shoot, maybe something else is going on. Okay, you know, what else is happening? You know, before everything and pictures and stuff come out. So, you know, and look, the lawyer is going to say just from this statement alone, he's going to protect Rasheed and say, look, you know, we're going to make sure we get our statement correct. We got to make sure that we talk to the Chiefs. We go talk to the police. You know, they're fully cooperating. They're going to do it on their time. They ain't going to be on our time, you know, the fans' time, because everybody wants to know. So that's the thing about it. It's going to be on their time. And sometimes these investigations take a long time. Get all everybody's perspective about everything that came out. And so we just hope for the best through all these things. And so we'll revisit it when these things do come out, when everything hits the light, when everything is shined. So
yeah.
My thing is I just ask everybody, hold their horses, right? Give it some time. We can have speculation all we want to, but probably it's easy for us just kind of sit on our hands and just kind of wait and see what comes about it, right?
Yeah.
And he came out in based on the one of the videos that I saw was he came out on the passenger side. So I think Javi Marlou is asking, is he driving? No one knows if he's driving. The car was right down his name, and based on the local news report from Kansas City, it's apparently under that company's guidelines, whoever rents out the car is the only one who's supposed to be driving. But based on the video, I think he comes out the passenger side. So, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't just because you rent the car from Enterprise doesn't mean you're the only one that has to drive it, right? You know, your significant other could drive, or a friend could drive a car, but just based on that based on the document, the black and white, the print of it, it's only he's supposed to be driving the car. So,
yeah, I don't know. You know, some people adhere to the rules. Sometimes, you know, in situations, you might like, oh, okay, well, go ahead and drive it. It's not a big deal. You know, if you got insurance, you try to take care of it. You know, we know these things do happen. We know these things do happen.
And the safety aspect, what you were talking about, JD, like, I think that's obviously the situation is a horrible situation, right? Hit and run aspect, driving a car at high speeds on the highway at 6 o'clock, terrible. But at the end of the day, like, his safety is a big thing. And I'll tell a personal story for myself. My senior year of high school, I totaled two cars. One, it was raining that day. I was driving and I was turning left. I kind of got hydroplaned onto a fire hydrant. Didn't break. I just kind of just went. I wasn't speeding. Didn't break. I got hydroplaned onto a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
A couple months later, I was not texting and driving. I was fixing my hair on the way to school. I nailed one of my classmates' cars from behind. Instantly, the car like started to heat up, and you know, like total both of them. But because I was under the age of 18, I had to go to court for them. I didn't get ticketed for any of them. But the judge told me this when I was going to get like whatever, not sentence, but they were going to, you know, tell me to go to driving class or whatever. The woman just said, like, at the end of the day, like, the judge, she was like, "You're a young person, and like the fact that you've had two different accidents." It's like, I could sentence you to doing 50 hours of driving lessons and stuff. But at the end of the day, like your mom, because my mom was with me, she was like, that person cares about you. And you want to be able to like, be able to go out and drive on your own without having to worry about you getting into an accident. Cause your safety at the end of the day, it's what matters. Forget the tickets and all that other stuff. It's your own safety. And like, that's the thing. It's like Rasheed Rice, his safety, the other people on the road safety, that's the stuff that matters. And luckily, based on what we're hearing, no one was hurt badly, right? So, like, that's the first and foremost. And it's just an unfortunate situation. But the health and safety, at the end of the day, that could have gone so wrong, where someone could have been in critical condition. No one did, thankfully. But that could have gone so wrong, but it didn't. But at the end of the day, I think that's the one thing he's got to come away with, is the fact that, like, I could have really hurt myself, hurt somebody else. And I think someone mentioned the Henry Ruggs situation. That's another thing. It's like that. For every player, when they saw that situation, that should be something that everyone thinks about, is that how badly that went wrong. And
yeah.
That could happen to anybody. And thankfully, it didn't happen here.
Well, see, then everybody says you should think about the Henry Ruggs situation. And sometimes people don't learn from other people's, you know, issues. And maybe you're not cognizant of those things before things happen. You know, because if this happens, whoever it was, okay, and we're not saying it's Rasheed, whoever it is, that's doing the racing and whatnot, they get away with it. They get home safely. No harm, no foul, right? Some crazy young dudes acting wild, whatever. The thing is, the lesson has to be learned because, you know, regardless if even if Rasheed was involved with this or not, and it was his friends that was driving the car or whatever, there's still a lesson there, okay, based off of this unfortunate situation that happened. And so part of it is, yeah, there's an air responsibility, okay, an accountability that you have to have, all right? Nothing's wrong with that. You have to have it. You got to think ahead. You got to think it through. As hard as it is, like I said, nobody thinks about this. We see tons of times people, look, we've been to bars. We've seen people drive drunk. We've seen people leave out of bars stumbling. We see there's a lot of different ways that people can get caught up in situations, okay? So I don't think anybody's pious and shouldn't be in a way that, like, yeah, we understand that these things do happen and nobody is excusing bad behavior, as we never should, okay? Hopefully a lesson is learned from this, whether it be him or his friends or whoever else was involved, okay? That more people could have got hurt or people could have got even worse than that and putting things in jeopardy. And so that I think you really have to go there with it and understand that sometimes there is a wake-up call. Sometimes you don't want to learn these lessons and it's always a hard lesson to learn when things do happen like this. But hopefully moving forward, it is something that he will take into account, regardless of whatever it is, and then, you know, learn from it. And so, let me see what they say in the chat. The bottom line is he left the scene of an accident. If he was driving the car, if that's the case, the Chiefs will cut him. I don't know. Let's just say that's the scenario. Okay. And we don't know if it is or not, Rick. We don't know if it is or not, okay? If that is a scenario, we don't know what the Chiefs will do. We don't know that, okay? Because it could be, say, you know, the guy panicked. Maybe the dude did something that was, you know, he shouldn't have been doing, okay? And at the time when he's not thinking, obviously you're not thinking, you know, when you get into accident, then all of a sudden you're definitely not thinking because you're like, oh, shoot, what's going on? What do I do, right? If people have been caught in a situation, like something happens, like you're just out of your mind. You don't know how to respond to these things. You know, it ain't like some hasn't, you know, left the scene of an accident. It happened all the time. People hit. Shoot. I had a joker hit me one time, man, up here. Hit me in the back of the car. Not hit me, but like hit my car. Dipped off. I had to go drive to catch this joker. Caught him. Yeah. Caught him. Can I say, man, what are you doing? Like, oh man, you know, I'm sorry, but it, you know, and he's, you know, apologetic and whatnot. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and he's like, man, I don't need to be entrusted. Man, you need to get off the road. Seriously. You need to get off the road. If you know what's going on, and some you get off the road. So he wasn't drunk, anything like that, right? Because I'm looking at him, I kind of walked up on him, you know, and he kind of stopped and put his hands up. You know, I wasn't really trying to, you know, I'm in my car, he's in his car. And I'm just kind of like, man, look. I said, you need to go straight home, all right? You've been drinking? I asked him, so you've been drinking? He's like, no, I've been drinking. I don't know if you've been drinking or not. Didn't look like he was inebriated or anything like that. But I'm sitting there thinking like, dang, yeah, this joker's just out here, you know, hitting people. And we know now, phones and all these different things. Shoot, how many of us, I do this on a daily. When I'm driving, when I look over to the car to my left or to my right, how many people like this on their phones driving? How many people we see on their car, like you said, fixing my hair in the morning or reading the paper and eating and all that? I'm sure a lot of us are guilty. I'm sure a lot of us are guilty. Are anybody's going to go like this? Raise your hand. Like, oh, yeah, I'm guilty of that. These things happen. That's me being reckless. That's reckless. So as much as we want to get on Rasheed Rice, if you're as reckless as that, of looking on your phone anytime you're driving, call yourself out on it.
Yeah.
Call yourself out on it, okay? So that's why I was saying, man, let's not be so benevolent and so pious that, you know, we act like we never did anything wrong. And like I said, we're not excusing the bad behavior because that's not what it is, okay? I'm not saying it at all. But we got to be real with ourselves also, too, that we put things in jeopardy and other people in jeopardy when we're not doing the things we're supposed to do. So that's all I had to say, man. I'm going to leave it at that.
The holier-than-thou mindset's never a good way to go.
Now, if you want to use holier than thou, use grace if you want to do anything, okay? You know, send some grace his way. All right. You know, pray for him if you want to do that. Pray for him. They may, you know, get better in these things, and then he's okay. And then hopefully, you know, he's able to move past this thing, whatever it is, whether it's lending your car out to somebody, you driving them, whatever it is. That's what's important.
Yeah. Omni Brown, appreciate the contribution, brother. This is what happens with winners. Everything that goes wrong with the Chiefs will be amplified. Look how the world turned on the Patriots the more they kept winning.
If somebody cuts their finger, they're gonna bring it up, and that's what I've seen a lot of. You know, that was kind of the crazy part, because some of the comments I was seeing was just from
other fans. Really odd.
I'm like, how do you cheer for somebody's downfall? You know what I'm saying? Over football, because you don't like the Chiefs. Is that where you are? What about the human element? You know, for your fellow man. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, having some heart and some empathy. And yeah, we could get on people about certain things, and you know, we can, you know, say that. But daggone, just because you don't like the Chiefs, or he's a dirt bag, and all these, come on, man, like for real, that's.
Yeah, I
can't stand things like that. To me, that's the crazy part of it. Like, if you're so beholden to your team that you're looking for another team's downfall for this person, then something's wrong with you, buddy. Okay, something is really wrong with you.
Yeah,
right. So,
yeah, I saw comments like the Devil's magic is wearing off with Kansas City now. It's like, wait, what? The Devil's magic? I mean, it's like, and then yeah, all these people from like other teams' fan bases like posting videos like people dancing, like me when I heard about this news, and it's like people dancing like little gifs or like videos of people dancing in celebratory fashion because of this news. It was just really like really odd. And yes, what happened was awful.
Yeah,
it could have been worse, but what happened in itself was awful. But then on top of that, you have people like going online, like celebrating it, like our team won like a championship game. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy. Donna said, "Let those without sin cast the first stone." Amen. Ricky said, "I bet the Chiefs take a wide receiver in the first round." We thought we was going to take a wide receiver in the first round anyway.
Yeah,
you know.
That was my initial thoughts, and I was like, if there was any doubt before, because we don't know what's going to happen with the situation. He could be suspended, may not be. I don't know. But, like, I think it solidifies that we are going to draft a receiver first round. I think they may even draft another guy. And also, too, and this is something that I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, JD. Like, you know, we've talked about having the veteran presence in the wide receiver room. And obviously, we don't know what would happen with Rasheed this weekend. But
yeah,
there's lack of a veteran presence in that locker room. And I think, if anything, this could be the kind of the tipping point to say, hey, like, let's bring in a guy who's been there, who's been around the block, and as far as in the NFL, you know, who could bestow some wisdom on the younger guys. Rasheed's 23, still a young guy. I think this might actually bode well for them, maybe signing a veteran guy to kind of be that voice of wisdom for the young guys. I'll talk
the guy. No. It's absolutely, that makes a lot of sense. To me, that should be done. You know, and that's part of it, right? It's like teaching you how to be a pro, what you look out for, how you're supposed to move, how you're supposed to carry yourself. All those things matter. And so when you do have more of those voices to you, hopefully they seep in even more. And I'm not saying he's not getting that at home or whatever like that. I'm just saying, like, the more you have somebody around that presence, you know, is somewhat of a guide that you have, right? And so they, you know, if somebody sees you doing maybe something that is maybe not be as, as delectable as you should, right? They can correct you, right? And bring you over like, hey, man, come on. Let me talk to you real quick, young fella, right? I had that in Philly. Did it keep me away from doing stupid things? No, but it kept me away from doing some stupid things, you know what I mean? No, sir. And it did. Like, some, yeah, like, okay, like, because maybe some things I didn't see, you know, because when you were in your 20s, man, you think you're invincible, right? That's what you feel. 18 to 20, ain't nothing can touch you, ain't nothing can hurt you. And so, you know, That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, we'll update you guys as we get more information on this. That's going to be an evolving process. So we'll be seeing how things kind of develop in the next few days. I mean, all this stuff kind of came out within the last few hours. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on our midweek show. Hopefully more stuff comes out on it. But all right. So you ready to get into linebackers, JD?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Yes.
All right. All right, so we're going to start off with our free agent, our losses from the linebacker room. Obviously, Willie Gay Jr. is the only guy we lost from the linebacker room this past year. Going to the Saints, we made mention of it during one of our previous episodes about like they have the Kansas City like Southeast down there now with Colin Saunders, Tyron Matthew, and now Willie Gay down there. So, JD, obviously, Willie Gay was a really like dynamic linebacker for us. Was amazing at guarding the running backs out of the flat. What are your thoughts on this on this loss of Willie Gay?
You know, Willie did a good job for us. A very athletic linebacker. Had some good instincts. Caught himself in sometimes, you know, positions was out. But I think this year, at least to me, I think this was probably one of his better years as far as being technically sound, being places you were supposed to be. And so I think he played a solid year with us. It was kind of unfortunate because when you had Drew Tranquil at the time that we had brought him in, they started getting a little bit of switching in and out, right? And this is kind of like one of those things, writings on the wall. If Drew didn't perform well, Willie may still be here, okay? The thing is, because Drew was, he was a hell of a linebacker out there with the Chargers, brought him here on a very, very friendly, team-friendly deal. He showed out. He showed out. And so Willie, who was looking for maybe a big payday to make some money, the Chiefs just felt like, his time here was ended. And so I think, you know, even going out on the market, Willie thought he was going to get a little bit more of the bites than what he did. So it's good that he's down there with the Saints among some more brethren. So he won't really feel like he's pulled away from home. He's got some guys he play with. They know how he plays. His energy that he brings to the defense and the team is going to be missed. There's no question about that. I think that was one of the best elements that that Willie had, not to mention just his athletic ability and his playmaking ability on the field, but also to how he made guys feel in the locker room and how he made the fans feel on the sideline as well.
Yeah, and the Saints, I'd say they got at a pretty good price, 1 year, $3 million, including a $1.2 million signing bonus. So, like, that's a pretty great deal for a young linebacker like he is. I mean, he's probably hoping that he, you know, goes out there, balls out, stays healthy the whole season, and then gets in line for a Drew Tranquil-type deal the following year, betting on himself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. You know, and look, much success with Willie. You know, anytime you have one of your guys, man, you always want him to do well. And so sometimes these things are just business. And the Chiefs felt like this was enough for him to let him move on and see what he could find out somewhere else. And so if he goes and he thrives there, you know, shoot, better for him. So,
yeah. Especially the fact that he gets to go and join some of his old guys from his old team. I think that's pretty a cool dynamic with the whole thing, is being able to go play with Matthew again, go play with Colin Saunders again. I think that's awesome.
You know what, man? People don't realize that how tough that is. When you go to a new team, you don't know anybody. Hopefully you play college with them. You know, you might've ran to him on an all-star game or whatever on the streets, maybe, you know, have some type of relationship. But he has three guys, you know, he's played with. Oh, my God, y'all, Willie, what's going on? And they'll get him acclimated quickly with everybody else around him. You know, they'll speak and vouch for him like, yo, man, like, Willie, serious. And so that goes a long way as far as your comfortability when you get down to a new team and new surroundings, right? And so I think he'll get down and ingratiate himself with the Saints. He's going to be a tough guy, man. That's a good pick for them, really, with Willie.
Yeah, for that price point too. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, we're kind of like sensitized to the whole Veach way of doing things, and like they got a Veach type deal with Willie Gay. I'm also surprised with what they paid him. Surprised we didn't make a play at him, and I'm curious to see what we offered him. And if not, I remember we talked about it. Was the last second to last game of the regular season is where he tweeted out the that tweet about how that'll be his last game at Arrowhead because he obviously knew that he wasn't coming back to Kansas City. And I thought we remember we had this. With that subject or topic on the show was like, well, he already knows he's not coming back. I mean, it's like last game of the regular season.
Yeah, so that might be the thing with him. And maybe he was just like, look, let me just go find a different pasture, right? You know, to go eat out of and hopefully I'll go do well. And then maybe go ball out and then see what goes on after that. Yeah, but I'm kind of shocked, but I think – you're kind of throwing a dilemma. If you're throwing money toward another guy, signing Drew Tranquil, you don't want it to be an issue where, you know, both guys are not really getting any type of playing time like that, right? You don't want to waste that type of talent, man. You don't.
Yeah, especially we have the young Bucks coming up. They're talking about it right now, JD. All right, so this is the linebackers we currently have on the roster right now. I've ranked it in order from biggest cap hit to the lowest. So Nick Bolton, $3.5 million. He's a free agent next year. Drew Tranquil, $3 million. We just re-signed him. Great deal, Drew Tranquil. Leo Chenal, $1.3 million cap hit. Jack Cochran, who we just brought back as far as the exclusive rights free agent. Cole Christensen. And then Cam Jones, who actually looked really good in that Chargers game at the end of the year when he got some playing time. He looked really good in that game. So JD, obviously we got a mix of veteran presence with Drew Tranquil, Leo Chenal finally coming into his own, Nick Bolton who's on a contract year. What are your thoughts on this linebacker room?
I love it. I like this linebacker room. I think we have one of the young, talented linebacker rooms, underrated in the NFL. I really do. And then with Willie gone, you know, these guys still make that true, without a doubt. So I'll start with Nick Bolton. I watched Nick in college, and when you're talking about a tackling machine, that's who Nick Bolton is. He was SEC leading tackler for a reason, but he was all over the field. I just never could understand how some people didn't like Nick. Okay, as being a linebacker. They always talked about like he was just okay or, you know, we could get rid of him. So Nick Bolton is that guy. He is that dude. When he plays linebacker, he reminds me of a running back playing linebacker. That's what he reminds me of. When you watch how he scrapes, you know, to the sideline and getting, you know, across and hitting the holes and filling them, He knows the point where they're going to be at. It's almost like he figures it out from the running back perspective where to meet them at and knows like where they're going to cut back, he's going to be there too. So it's almost like he's in their head. And it's that's why you see so much of him turning his shoulders and running as opposed to keeping his shoulder square. And you know, he's shoulder square from A to C. You know, that's where he is. You know, when he goes C to C, he knows how to shoulder square. Get to the outside, he turns his shoulders and go, okay? And he does a great job of it. And I'm telling you, when he comes, he is bringing pain with him. He is bringing absolute pain. But I just never could understand, man. To me, Nick Bolton is one of the top five linebackers in the league. Underrated. Because he's just a smaller frame guy. He's 6 foot, 235 pounds, whatever, right? So he's not monstrous in size, okay? You know, he's not like your typical Mike linebacker who's going to be 6'3", 245, 250, right? Everybody's thinking, you know, Ray Lewis and all. People thinking guys like that, right? Nick Bolton is compactful. He's a compactful guy, okay? That's why when he smacks people in the mouth, you can see that they are visibly shaken, okay? Because he brings nothing but bad intentions with him, all right? He does. So Nick Bolton, my goodness. He is, like I said, one of the better linebackers in the league, especially a Mike linebacker. To me, Bolton has the Zach Thomas effect. He's 5'11". People say he's too. That's exactly what it is. Too small, can't do it. And Aldo Brown, that's what I was thinking too. Like all the linebackers are small, right? London Fletcher, right? Zach Thomas. Okay, when you start talking about the guys like that, and it's like, man, these guys all over the field, they done had a chip on his shoulder. It's almost like if you tell a dude that he's 5'11 or 6 foot and he's too small, you just created a monster. So maybe you need to tell every linebacker, oh, man, you're too small. You can't do it. You might just develop somebody who's going to be a superstar, right? So I think that's a lot of who Nick Bolton is. What do you think about Nick?
I love Nick Bolton. When he came back, it was the Bills game, his first game back. It was a huge difference to our defense right out the gate. Also, I thought him having the club on his arm this year was also just a badass effect to him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, what you say, a running back out in defense, it's actually – It's a really good one. Having number 32 also helps with that as well, that effect. But, the one thing about him that I love is his rapport with Spags and how much Spags trusts him, and that's been evident since the day we drafted him. But they say – I was listening to Arrowhead Pride about a couple of weeks ago, and they're saying that as far as the next guy, so the next year we have Bolton coming up, free agent Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith – apparently, Bolton's first in line to be getting a contract extension. You could see of all those guys, he could be the first one to see get a contract extension, possibly in this offseason, which, quite frankly, I know we talked about running backs not being respected anymore. Middle linebackers also become that as well, a position that's not highly regarded anymore. And right, I think with what he's doing on our team, I think it'd be great for us to kind of lock him in for the long haul. Just to have that bookend or that guy in the middle of your defense, the quarterback on your defense, have him be that guy for the long haul, be amazing.
And when you talk about linebackers, and the Chiefs have always had linebackers, you know, through the past, like DJ, you know, who is a solid guy that you just want to keep here. You know, Nick is one of those guys who's always going to be a solid guy, you know, who's going to be always top in the league in tackling, right? Because he's savvy. He's got very high football IQ. All right, and you're talking about he is kind of the heartbeat of the defense. He really is. He's the voice. He tells these guys where to go, and everybody respects Nick, every single guy. And so when you see that, you see the effect that he has on him, you know, on the defense. It's apparent. It's apparent. So, yeah, Nick Bolton, folks. Now I'm going to go over here to Drew Tranquil. Tranquil, right? You know, I'm so happy for Tranquil getting the deal that he got, okay? Because he deserved it. He played his tail off this past year. And to me, every challenge that he was presented, he knocked it out the park. You know, when he had to come in and play for Nick Bolton, and you know, in the middle, it's Mike. He did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job. And I always say, you know, with Tranquil and Bolton, both those guys, little undersized, Tranquil has like more of a thinner frame, okay? That's why he had a little trouble kind of getting off the blocks and whatnot. He can just get engulfed, you know, on the interior guys, okay? That's why our defensive line has to be stellar when you let our linebackers run, they're going to make plays. They're going to be the best in the business. You get those guys off of them. And Leo Chanel was sniffing out a whole lot of plays this past year, a whole lot. Much better at the pass defense than the run defense for Leo Chanel or Tranquil. I'm sorry, Drew Tranquil. And that's what we needed. We needed to see a guy like that. He's very disciplined in what he does, plays the ball, plays his eyes well, plays the quarterback's eyes well. He knows how to, you know, he understands space and then being in zone. He figures all that out. And so very high football IQ. And if anybody was going to replace Willie, Drew Tranquil was the perfect guy to do it. He was the perfect guy to do it. But he's home. Drew Tranquil loves everything about Chiefs Kingdom, and I think Chiefs Kingdom loves everything about Drew Tranquil as well. And so, to me, man, he's going to be one of those guys, the next star. Just if we're able to keep that, he's going to be here with us for a little while. Bolton together, and then we talk about, you know, Chanel as well. You know, this very next year, our linebacker core, man, is as solid as you can get in the NFL, really. But I love Drew Tranquil, everything he gave this year. He was absolute joy to watch. Absolute joy to watch.
Yeah, Tranquil was amazing. I think the whole fact, the story of him coming from his Chargers and in-division team, coming and seeing what it's like to actually be on the winning side. And he made many comments about that. And then seeing him in the parade, I think someone talked about Willie Gay being awesome at the parade this year. I think Drew Tranquil was probably the MVP of the parade if we had to give rankings to how the guys were responding to it. I mean, grabbing the microphone from the local news reporter and just like being so happy to be in Kansas City, and was a couple days later he signs a 3-year deal to be in Kansas City for a good while. Yeah. And we may mention about Leo Chanel. We saw him step up this year. He was really good this year. What did you notice the most of Chanel from year one to year two? What did you see the biggest growth in? And obviously, for what you think the team obviously was okay to move on from Willie Gay to say, okay, yeah. Leo's got it. What did you see his biggest step up this year?
So he got out of just thinking, and he just went. He just played. First year, you could tell he was a little hesitant on his thought process, but he was still making plays. Because he's an athletic guy. Leo Chanel, who I call He-Man. That's who he reminds me of. He-Man, Masters of the Universe. That's who Leo Chanel is.
Prince Adam.
Okay? Yeah. Prince Adam. And so the thing is, man, because he does have athletic ability. He's a bigger size guy. You would think he's going to be a little bit more lumbering and bumbling. Man, he's smooth. He's got speed, and that sucker will hit you. He's strong. He is absolutely strong. To me, he is one of the top players on our defense. I mean, seriously. He's not somebody you have to worry about playing his position at all, because he's always solid. That's why you don't necessarily hear his name unless he's making a play. Because any other than that, it's like, oh, well, where's Leo Chanel? You know, got outside Chanel on this. You don't ever hear that. You never hear it. So he can set the edge. He comes up and makes plays. You know, he understands where he needs to be in the scheme. That scheme is built for somebody like Leo Chanel. But that was his big jump this past year for me, was just watching him just actually just go play football, you know, and just go and just react. That was it. So.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I mean, talk about, it seems like we do have this kind of like formula of what we're looking for, because he's another guy who does. He also looks like a skill player, like a running back and linebacker. Because his 40 time was ridiculous. I remember at Wisconsin, they were lining him up and just having him blitz from like the edge position and like all the way up the middle. So like they obviously saw something in him in Wisconsin, and now for us to kind of see him, and we saw him play his ass off in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was getting back there and getting some pressures on Purdy. So like, yeah, I'm really excited to see him like a full on season of him actually getting those reps that were, you know, maybe split between Willie Bolton and Drew Tranquil over the last few years or last year. So seeing him get full on dose of Chanel this year, can't wait.
When I look at his ability, man, he could play all three linebacker positions, Sam, Will, and Mike. He could do it all. So when you have a guy that has that type of versatility, I mean, that's a hell of a guy to have on your team, really. Cochran. Okay. So I was actually impressed by him.
Me too.
I was actually impressed by Cochran. And I'm like, this dude right here could play. And you know how you just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, your eyes perk up. Like, is that Cochran again? And so he was, I don't know what game was that. Was that Denver or somebody? I don't know what it was. But he was just making play after play. But I think, matter of fact, we might have been texting each other talking about it. And I was like, man, this dude is a hell of a player. He's a hell of a linebacker, right? And look, he may not wire you with speed, okay? He may not be the star like a Bolton. He may not be as savvy as Tranquil, or he might not be as big as Chanel. But I think he has a little bit of all three. You know what I'm saying? He's a linebacker that you sitting over there, you have to worry about throwing in. You don't have to look around and look down who are we going to look in? Who are we going to put in, right? You just, Cochran, go on in. No hesitation. And he looks like a guy who's just going to get the job done. He came in, he fit right in, he did a hell of a job. I don't know what game that was, but
it was a Packers game, I believe. It was a prime time game. I remember it was a Sunday night game, we're talking about it. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like, looking at that game, that was his biggest game as far as seven solo tackles that game. And then obviously the last game of the season where everyone was, it was all the reserves and you got more playing time with that. But I remember you and I were like pleasantly surprised about it, because I remember – we were both talking about possibly picking up Darius Harris, the linebacker we picked up the previous year, who actually stepped in and played well. And then he came in and he flashed right away.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he jumped on my radar quick, just with his play. And when you do that, to me, I'm just like, this dude is a solid guy. He's a solid player. He could go play anywhere in the NFL, really. And any team would love to have this guy. Would love to have him. Okay. Christensen. Now, you know, not really as sure all about Christensen as much. You know what I'm saying? You know, special teams guy. He's one of those guys that the dudes I play with, if you're gonna be a solid person, playing linebacker, right? Special teams, linebacker starting. When you come in, you're a great reserve. That's who you're supposed to be. If you're gonna be part of the 53-man roster, you better be that good. You better be making plays on special teams. And so I didn't really look at like the tackles on special teams, who was really making their tackles and whatnot. But I'm sure Christensen's name came up, you know, a few times. You know, for them, for the Chiefs, if you got a solid guy like this, I think they was happy with him. Was happy with him. But like I said, I don't know too much about him. The main four I know more about, like I said, Bolden, Tranquil, Chanel, and of course Willie. But the special teams guys, you know, I told you, I said, look, if you're on special teams, you ain't making no tackles, then what are you doing? Okay, what are you out here for? And so, you know, I mean, you know, look, I used to get on special teams all the time because if I didn't see effort and somebody getting down there, then I'd call it out quickly. But I think our interior guys are pretty solid. I think Christensen did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, Cam Jones, the biggest game he got his most playing time was that last game of the season as well. And I think for Cam Jones and Cochran, they both, when they did get their playing time, they really flashed. And Cam Jones, I'm looking at his number. Because I remember during that game, I was so wowed by his performance. But that game, Cam Jones, 12 total tackles, 11 solo tackles in that Chargers game to end the season. So, like, pretty good.
That's a hell of a job. That's a hell of a job. Shoot. 11 solo?
11 solo.
Daggone, I didn't know you had that many.
And Cochran had 7 solo in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, we got good depth. I mean,
good depth, yeah, man.
These aren't big names by any means of Cam Jones and Jack Cochran, but I mean, hey, like, in the playing time they get, and they're coming up with 7 tackles, 11 solo tackles, like, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. So I think now what you start looking at is, well, do the Chiefs address getting somebody in the draft at linebacker? Okay. Because linebackers are one of those guys that you'll probably, heck, you're gonna be starting, and guess what? You're gonna be on special teams. Sometimes you just got it. That's the life of a linebacker. We're gonna need you. Sorry, y'all group are the ones that's not gonna be able to come off the field. Y'all gonna be on special teams and on defense. This is what it is. So get ready. Okay. And the reason part of that is because you're athletic guys. Well, guess who's another one? Like that on offense, tight ends. Tight ends are the same thing. You're going to be on, you know, you're going to be doing special teams more so than not, carrying double duty. So unless you're obviously like Nick Bolton, you ain't the guy. Okay. Leo, we need for you to take his rep. Yeah. We need for you. Yeah. Okay. So just get ready for it. So,
yeah. If you look at the draft, I mean, I haven't taken a deep dive in the middle linebacker position, but like if you look at our history, Chanel was second round pick or third round pick. It was second day. It was day two pick.
Day two, Bolton, I think it was round three pick.
Round three, yeah. And if you look at Bolton and Chanel, it's almost like every other year we're drafting. Well, they were back to back years, but I mean, we do like to spend draft capital in the middle linebacker position. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do go middle linebacker at some point here. They like drafting linebacker talent. So,
yeah.
I think, what is that, 3 consecutive years? Because Willie Gay just came up for contract. Bolton would be coming up for contract next year. So that's back-to-back draft class. And then Chanel would be coming up after that. So, yeah, right. So that's 3 straight years of
– 3 straight years. Yeah, linebackers coming up. Yeah.
So, there you go. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do take one.
Yeah. You know, and of course, like you said, you know, we got Tranquil for 3 years. If you're going to sit back with these guys for a couple of years, solid, and, you know, nobody comes up and you don't have to talk about anything, then that's good to have, right? But Bolton, he's an easier choice. I think because he missed a little time this year, you know, people was like, oh, you know, well, Bolton was, you know, and Chanel, you know, Trample came in and played. Well, shoot, we still needed Bolton out there. You could tell the difference when Bolton was out there and when he wasn't out there. A big difference. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm excited this linebacker group. I mean, I think every time we go over our different defensive groupings, I'm excited. I'm ecstatic about it. The only one where I'm like, it would be the other D-tackle spot next to Chris Jones. That's the only one I'm like kind of like meh about is the guy next to Chris Jones, which is – it's a luxury problem, right, to say the guy next to Chris Jones. But that's the only position of all of our defensive positions that I'm like kind of like scared about is that other spot. But –
We have to draft as a defensive tackle.
Yep.
Okay. And I said in the first three rounds, right? First three rounds, we got to get as a defensive tackle. Okay. A wild guy. So Under Brown says, when you draft well, that allows Pat to make all that money and kill the team and not kill the team.
Yeah.
Pat got to make those ducats, man. That's how it is. You know, shoot.
And but keep converting into signing bonuses. Give us some more money.
Yeah. You know, so I know we hadn't really talked about it, kind of revisiting the Rashee Rice thing. Hopefully, you know, all those boys reached out to him, which I'm sure they did. I don't know if he's talking to them, but at this moment in time, these guys need to put their arm around him. Okay, when your boy is in duress, things are happening, and a lot of adversity that he's going through. You just got to put your arms around each other. You really do. And just show support. And that is, it kind of goes, man, and kind of talking about Vontae Davis, man. Can you believe that? That, goodness gracious. Just hearing that, man, that just hurt my heart. It did. It hurt my heart. And I don't know all the details of it. You know, I don't think it ever like that came out, man, but just, you know, young man, losing his life. It's always sad to hear, man, a brother that played football, that's been on the gridiron in the NFL. You just feel it. You feel that type of camaraderie and love for somebody. And even though I didn't know the guy, you know, my heart was with him and his family. So I know this, praying for the Davis family through this tough time, man. You know, I know a lot hit a lot of guys really hard, really hard. Young man. He's a young man. So,
yeah. And you see that, like, with certain guys, when you do see, because he played for a few different teams, but you have guys, mm-hmm. and obviously NFL is a one giant fraternity, right?
Yeah.
And you have guys who play with them from all different types of teams coming out and just talking about and how sad and stricken they were by this loss. I mean, came as a shock to a lot of people today.
Yeah.
35, man. I'm so young.
35. Went on our little feed, man. Like I said, I talked to my boys. You know, we all on feeds together, man, and just, you know, just sharing it. And it is a brotherhood, Marcus. It really is. You know, big fraternity, man. You know, we care for one another. And we always hate hearing that. We always hate hearing somebody losing their life. Anybody losing their life, you know, that young is always is tragic, you know, so. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, hey, look, my thing is, you know, celebrate life. This is what life is all about, right? Celebrate life, enjoy one another, be happy for each other. Let's do that. Be happy for each other. Cheer each other on. I think we need to do more of that, as opposed to all this divisiveness and talking here and this and that. Man, it's just too much of that. Yeah. You know, so
life's already hard as it is, you know. So like, let's try and be as positive and happy for one another, and, you know, uplift each other and. Instead of bringing down, or, you know, just trying to stir up stuff and get likes and hits on Twitter. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I see some of these tweets. I'm like, my gosh, you're just goading people to, you know, get into arguments about stuff and be combative with each other. It's like, come on, let's, you know. Especially stuff like this. We don't, like, the Rashee Rice thing. It's like, we don't know anything about it. For people to have too many, like, you know, concrete, like, solutions to it. It's like, you're not doing anything. You're not a legal expert. You're not on the Chiefs organization. You're not on the Dallas PD. You don't know what's going on here. So, like, it's just, you know, just try to be as good and positive as we can be.
That's right. Ghost Hunter of 1974, celebrate other success and pick people up when they are struggling. Absolutely. 100%. Amen to that. Yep. Yes. Yeah, show each some kindness. Lift each other up. Amen. Amen, without a doubt. So this is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. We, hey, look, we all walking through this existence together. You know what I mean? And so we're supposed to be good to one another, love one another like we should, all right? If we did that, learn to love our neighbor the way that we should, be a much better world. So
yeah. we're all characters in everyone's own reality TV show, you know. Yeah, so yeah. What kind of character do you want to be? You want to be the good guy? Be the good guy.
right. Be the good guy. Like Andre said, you never know. Check up on people. Absolutely. Check up on each other. Please do that. Hey, and you think about people, and I catch myself, man. It convicts me at times. I'm like, man, this person came to my mind. Let me just call them, see what's going on. Hey, what's going on, man? I didn't want nothing. Just want to say, hear your voice, or just say, what's up? And that's it. Get a response back. But, you know, our doors are open for anybody who want to talk, all those different things, man. You know, let's all open up our hearts and our doors to other people as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Listen, you all. Love you guys. Love you all for coming in here. You know, y'all are the best. Y'all are the best. You know,
yeah,
we appreciate it.
Great community in here. Great community.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we hope everybody enjoyed the show, the linebacker talk, the Rashee Rice stuff. Obviously, it can be evolving. It's an evolving situation, so we'll try to keep you guys up to date as we get more information about it and just kind of talk about it amongst ourselves here. But we'll see you guys Wednesday night for our midweek show. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys Wednesday. JD, love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. All right. Love y'all. Y'all be good. Have a good night.
See everybody. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.